Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight. It is a story better known perhaps than any other in the world. It has been read aloud, produced for the stage, enshrined in film, and it served as the inspiration for numerous works of art. And while it's certainly available to all seasons, enduring all seasons, this is the time of the year we love to hear it the most, to hear it, read it, see it, be inspired by it once again. I'm talking, of course, about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Published on December 19th of 1843, the first edition of 6,000 copies sold out by Christmas Eve just 5 days later. And by the end of the next year, a dozen more editions had been published and sold. We love this story because, like the Christmas story, it's a tale of redemption and forgiveness, and it reminds us of the possibility that even the worst among us, and even the worst of what's inside of us, can be changed, reformed, and redeemed. I've been thinking about Dickens' tale a lot of late, and even more of its central character, Ebenezer Scrooge. Brought to life over the years on stage and screen by the likes of Lionel Barrymore, George C. Scott, Patrick Stewart, Henry Winkler, that's right, the Fonz, Scrooge seems to capture the reality of Christmas 2020 better than Dickens could ever have imagined. Not through his miserly disdain for the poor, of course, but rather his general attitude toward Christmas, summed up so vividly in just two words: bah humbug. No large gatherings and feasts with family and friends this Christmas because of COVID. Bah humbug. Cutting back on Christmas gifts and celebrations because of economic hardship and uncertainty. Bah humbug. Careful words with friends and family about the state of our country for fear of tapping into the political divisiveness and even rage of this day. Bah humbug. No singing of beloved Christmas carols, no packing thousands into our sanctuaries to hear the Christmas story, no coming together as a family of faith to celebrate Christ's birth. Bah, humbug. And of course, beyond all of this, the reality that for the families and friends of literally hundreds of thousands of people, this Christmas will be diminished all the more because of the loss of a loved one. Bah, humbug, indeed. These seem like the words that capture not just this Christmas, but the whole of this difficult year. As I have been rereading some of Dickens' classic story in recent weeks, it dawned on me that under the surface of Scrooge's dour attitude about Christmas, and beneath his miserly contempt for anything he could not buy or sell, is fear. As a young man, Scrooge is afraid that the love and emotional intimacy that his fiancée Belle offers him is just too good to be true. If he embraces what Belle offers, he might be disappointed, so he turns instead to accumulating wealth and cultivating a cold but dependable relationship with his business partner, Jacob Marley. That initial fear sets the stage for all that happens later. Scrooge's fear of want, his fear of poverty, his fear that if he treats his employee, Bob Cratchit, with kindness, Cratchit will become lazy and unproductive. Even his fear if he accepts the friendship offered by his nephew, Fred, he could lose everything he's accumulated. Yes, there is a lot of fear in Ebenezer Scrooge. All of which reminds me that we love A Christmas Carol, not only because it's a tale of redemption and forgiveness, but also because it tells the truth. Because, truth be told, there is a lot of fear in us as well. In addition to all the fears brought on by this pandemic, and they are legion, there are also many and varied fears that assail us each and every day. Fear about an uncertain future, fear about a pending diagnosis, fear that the relationship we've settled for, while unsatisfying, may be the best we can hope for, fear that we won't get the job we want, the college acceptance we've been waiting for, the relationship we've hoped for. Fear that we will not be able to carry on in the wake of the loss of a loved one. And beneath all of these, the deep-seated fear that when push comes to shove, it will be clear that we are not enough, will never be enough, and so do not really deserve the love and acceptance we crave. These fears brought so vividly to life during this difficult time have this way on preying on our imagination, limiting our sense of what's possible, pushing us to settle for less than we'd hope for or deserve, driving us to hoard rather than share, and looking to our own needs rather than those of our neighbor. Yes, fear is a part of our story as well. And we should note, there is a lot of fear in the Christmas story as well. In fact, it runs throughout the first two chapters of Luke's gospel that he devotes to the story of Jesus' birth, just a bit of which we've been reading this evening. First, earlier in the story is Zechariah, Jesus' maternal uncle and the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah is afraid that the news the angel brings him, that he and his wife Elizabeth, well beyond childbearing age, will have a child, simply cannot be true. Then there is the fear of Mary, when Gabriel comes and shares the news that she will bear the Son of God. Mary is confused by this message and is afraid that she is not up to the task offered, and that the angel's opening words, "Greetings, favored one," are surely not directed to her. Finally, there are the shepherds in the portion of Luke's story we heard tonight. When they witness the angelic hosts of heaven and hear them sing of God's peace and goodwill, they are, St. Luke tells us, terrified by the words, song, and presence of God's messengers. And in each of those cases, Zechariah, Mary, the shepherds, God's response communicated through God's messengers, the angels, is exactly the same. Do not fear. In fact, that command is the most frequent in all of the Bible, said by angel, prophet, and priest, and by the one whose birth we celebrate tonight. Do not fear, said more than 120 times across the pages of Scripture. Do not fear. And then those words are followed up always by a promise of what God was about to do. A promise of God's love and presence that enables each of these characters to transcend their fears and play out the role God has assigned them. Fear and its antidote, a promise. Which brings me back to Dickens' classic story. You know, the first time you watch or see A Christmas Carol, it's easy to assume that what prompts Scrooge's conversion is his fear of the ghost of Christmas future and the prospect of Tiny Tim's death and his own lonely and unmourned passing. But if you read or listen carefully, the critical moment of Scrooge's redemption is not the moment of greatest fear, but instead it is when he realizes that the visions he has seen are, as he says, not shadows of the things that will be, but rather shadows of the things that may be only. His moment of conversion and renewal, of redemption and forgiveness, that is, comes when he receives the promise that the future is still open, that God is still at work, that there is still possibility and goodness and love in the world. In this way, Scrooge stands in the same line of people like Zechariah and Mary and the shepherds, who, though caught in their fears, are redeemed and sent forth in courage and hope by the promise that God is not finished, that God is still at work, loving, blessing, and saving the world through the Savior whose birth we recognize tonight. You know, over the course of this pandemic, I've typically begun our worship service together, not just by simply naming the date, in this case, December the 24th, 2020, but instead by saying, "Welcome to Mount Olivet on this Christmas Eve, December the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2020. In case you were wondering, I don't normally talk that way, but I have borrowed that old language for a reason. In the year of our Lord, you see, is our English translation of the Latin Anno Domini, which we usually abbreviate AD, the year of our Lord, distinguishing it from BC, the years before Christ. I've been drawn to that language to remind me and all of us that this difficult and at points painful year is nevertheless still God's year. That God is at work and active so that we too might be joined to all those who perceive in the birth of Christ God's promise to be with us and for us always and to never, ever give up on us. And who knows, but maybe the loss of some of our cherished Christmas traditions this year may just serve to remind us that beneath the songs and the feasts and the gatherings and the celebrations, and even beneath our beloved worship, rests the good news that God has not only come to earth in the form of this child, but that God has come for us in love, always, to still our fears and grant us renewed faith and courage. So one last thing. I have never, ever been able to settle on a favorite Christmas carol. I love the tender intimacy of Silent Night. I'm moved by the reverent poignancy of What Child Is This? And I'm so lifted up by the buoyant courage of Joy to the World. But even though I don't have a favorite carol, I do have a favorite line. And it comes at the close of the first verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem, which we sung just a bit ago, and most of us know by heart. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Hopes and fears. Did you catch that? God doesn't need or expect or even want us to feel like we have to show up in our Christmas best. God just wants us as we are, with hopes and fears, successes and failures, achievements and disappointments, all of it. So go ahead now. On this most different of Christmas Eves, open your heart and confess all of who you are, offering up your hopes and fears so that you can hear God respond in turn. Do not fear. I love you and am with you. You deserve to be loved. You are worthy of respect. You have untapped and enormous potential, and your hopes and dreams and fears and all of the rest, they matter. For you, just like the infant Jesus born this night, you too are my beloved child. And with that word and promise, nothing else I think needs to be said, except perhaps Merry Christmas. And I suppose, God bless ye everyone, for Christ is born today. Amen.